Welcome. You're listening to We're Goblins, a show about buzzwords, pop culture, and the internet through the decades with your friendly but hostile neighborhood goblins. This is CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I'm your host, Hannah, and...
I'm your host, Tasha.
And today... we are talking about, what are we talking about?
Well, we are your extremely fleabag goblins talking about glow-ups and the term glow-up, makeover culture generally.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about transformation.
Yeah, and transformation ultimately is almost purely physical.
Yep. And yeah. I mean, we're talking about the language that surrounds this kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
which can be tricky, but over the years, I think it has changed from just calling it a makeover to a bunch of different things, which we'll get into, but certainly there are a lot of terms to describe
yeah.
what is essentially known as a makeover.
Yep. And as you know, we are nerds for words.
How long are you holding on to that rhyme?
Let's not get there. Let's not get inside my head. It's a very, very bizarre place to be in. But yeah, we are, I don't know, your friendly but hostile neighborhood culture critics.
Yeah, listen, we are media scholars.
At this point, yeah.
We are disseminating knowledge upon mm-mm. culture, upon words.
Through community airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, so as Tasha described, it's very much rooted in the makeover trend, which was something very popular in the early 2000s. It was a trope in every other rom-com, and some of the words that I have picked that I will elaborate upon are revenge body, hot girl summer, and thirst trap.
Those are good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny how many words all come out of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was trying to distill this down into my crazy notes that I don't want to talk about right now, I was like, I'm just talking about makeovers. It's just a makeover, but we have different variations on a theme now.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, like, just because we've been doing it for so long. Like, we say it was, like, a popular trope in the early aughts, but, like, when was this not a trope?
Yeah.
You know?
When was it not a thing?
I was only aware of media from, like, I don't know, age 7, unfortunately, on. Mm-hmm. So I can only track as far as I was alive.
When you were cursed with knowledge.
Yeah.
But what are some of your words?
So I focused on glow up primarily. But I think corollary to the glow up is the Get Ready With Me video,
mm-hmm.
Which is like, Get Ready With Me is just its own little acronym that is used to describe someone making a video where they're just kind of like hanging, talking to the camera, but they're like doing makeup or getting ready to go out in some sense. It's like very casual, and it's almost like this friend setting where you're sitting with a pal. It's very parasocial.
Yes.
She did such big points for that.
I was just thinking that.
And it's, you know, having consumed a few of them to like prepare for this, it was so strange getting the sense that like I was just sitting in my friend's room while they were talking to me about something totally arbitrary while doing themselves up. And what, I don't know if there's like a huge focus on actually getting ready as much mm-hmm. as there is just like on the casual conversation that comes with getting ready.
Oh, yeah. And something that's so interesting is the persona of being, I'm so relatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're friends, but actually we're not. I'm better than you. Come on. The culture of micro-celebrities, which is a whole other tangent that we can get into. But anyway, and something just before our show, I was talking to Audrey, who's our lovely admin assistant, and she was telling me about this TikTok trend, which is now in my brain, and I'm going to curse everyone with their best knowledge, is Are you a La 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 girl or are you an Okay 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 girl?
Okay, you brought this up prior to the show and I was like, tell me what a La 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 girl is, and you never did. And so now I have to learn about this real time. It's so much stress. Okay, I don't want to decide yet.
So Audrey had a hard time explaining to me and I was like, tell me now. I'm so curious. And then I tried looking it up. We both tried looking it up. It was so hard to really categorize those two things because it's just very arbitrary. But ended up at is that La 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 girl is someone who's more free-spirited and extroverted and a bit of a wild card. And Okay Okay girl is like nerdy and put together and is beautiful but doesn't know it. And it's just, again, Audrey said it well, where like, why are we creating more divisions amongst women?
Yeah, I'm like, can I just have an off-the-cuff reaction?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can we just stop categorizing things that young women do as their entire personality? Like, you can be more than one thing.
No. It's a dichotomy.
Or let people be more than one thing. I'm so tired.
Also, how stupid is the name? It's like, could you not come up with something better?
Yeah, I mean, it totally reeks of Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Given, I think that maybe, and I don't know, I'm not familiar with the trend. It's like there's no hierarchy. It feels like they're both on equal ground, which is
they're the same thing.
New, but they are the same thing.
They're both beautiful women. Ultimately, yeah. we watched a few TikTok videos trying to decipher, and we got more confused. And then we took a quiz to obviously determine what we are. And apparently, we both are okay, 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 girls.
Yeah, I mean. At least right now. I'm sure I can be la 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 in some points in my life.
Yeah. How dare you not suck them
to the male gaze. I will not be contained.
That's what I love about you, Tasha.
Thank you. I see it as just like my more like ornery point where I'm just like, I refuse. Anytime someone throws a category my way, I'm just like, I got my little like racket out and I'm like, no. No, and I'm just hitting them all away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously some of these categories can land with people. It's just...
Yeah. No, I do the same. I'm actually going to do the opposite of this.
Mm-hmm.
To be annoying. Because I can.
And, like, one more digression, okay?
Yes.
One more.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Okay, thank you. It's my show, and I'll digress. I just think that, like, oftentimes we're talking about trends on TikTok. We're just talking about, like, youth trends. Mm-hmm. And, like, kids are going through a period where they're, like, discovering themselves. Like, I'm sorry to put it in these terms. It must be so annoying to be a teen and hear people say that. But, I mean, there's some extent where it's true where you're trying on different ways of being in the world. And you kind of still do throughout your 30s. So, like, it doesn't end. But when you're younger, you go through more and more phases. And it's like, we're just seeing teens go through phases, but we're all giving them this title of like trends and we're paying a lot of attention to them, which we don't necessarily need to. Like, no more think pieces on TikTok trends, I think.
Thank you. As someone who
is doing a show about like pop culture and words, I'm like,
that is so controversial and
brave. I think we need to stop because it's really not worth it. And it's probably
so
not
fleeting.
That deep. Yeah.
Sorry, we're so
really fired up.
We're both so passionate about it and apologize that we're just talking over each other. But I agree with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just so fleeting and it's interesting how it's just a lot of old quote-unquote trends and subcultures being packaged as something new and original, which is not. It's not, because I saw the same trend being dubbed as like, are you a scene girl or are you a goth girl? Which is like, okay, this has been going on forever. So like,
and you know, here's another thing. It's very economically useful to have these trends packaged that way. I just feel like every time something gets uttered online and it kind of stirs up a lot of interest, it becomes so economically useful for brands and for all of our media to like sell us things under those banners. Mm-mm. And if we just did away with some of them sometimes, we may become less useful in that way. But I digress so hard. I'm sorry.
You are so right. There is such an economic prospect to it, ultimately. It's like, who is it serving?
Like, emo led me down so many, like, I spent too much time at Hot Topic.
How many black t-shirts do you have? Did you have?
I mean, ultimately, I was more of, like, a red and black striped shirt
of course
kid. But, yeah, too many. And I, you know, because I wasn't the income target, but rather I feel that my parents were the income target, I would ask them for things and it would change like every couple of months. So like,
yeah, I owned quite a few black pair of jeans and my mom was like, you don't need that many. She wasn't wrong.
I had to safety pin my jeans into skinny jeans because they weren't available yet.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, yes, we both digressed hard, but there are still a lot of links to like what we're talking about. And yeah, some people can shrug it off and be like, oh, this is arbitrary or this is dumb, it doesn't make sense. But ultimately, it really adds to our cultural zeitgeist and like how we operate and how we talk and our lexicon and everything.
Yeah, and it contributes to like our goals and what we deem valuable.
Absolutely.
Everything's connected. You heard it here first.
Yes. So should we throw out some definitions first?
Yeah, I think so. I think let's do a thing that we maybe haven't really thought of in our last couple episodes, but to lay some groundwork, some context first, and then get into what we think all of this kind of signifies, what the subtext is, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of pop culture examples that we should get into when it comes to the glow up, the get ready with me.
Definitely.
The revenge body, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Hina, do you have anything that comes up, any like cultural touchstones when you think of these topics?
For sure, yeah. The first reference that popped in my head thinking about makeovers, which is the language we used when I was in middle school and high school, and I think of Princess Diaries and Anne Hathaway's transformation to actually be suitable and to be deemed fit to be a princess. And that scene is so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just rooted for her and we're like, oh, look, she's so beautiful now. But literally, she was attractive before and was attractive later. Her hair was just not frizzy anymore. She just used some product and wasn't wearing glasses.
Yeah, classic.
And threaded her eyebrows, because back then, thin eyebrows were the cool thing.
Yeah, so it's like she becomes valuable to culture when she's able to like display the things that are culturally relevant at the time, which is like very tweezed eyebrows and flat ironed hair.
Yep. And she was in a klutz.
Oh yeah, that's such a big thing in early aughts media like this, where it's like, oh, she's undesirable because she's klutzy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, she learns how to walk. And she probably like gets taught some sort of like culture references to throw around to mm-hmm. seem more cool or desirable, and then like boom, makeover complete.
Yeah, do like the queen wave mm-hmm. as I do that. You can't see, it's radio, but that's what pops in my head. What about you?
Well, I think more contemporary examples for me is just the like there's a stream of videos on YouTube that all emulate this like my extreme glow up transformation narrative, and oftentimes those are literally the title of the video.
Oh yeah, clickbait.
And it's intoxicating to see someone go from one state to another. So I think that like there's this ongoing thread of extreme transformation videos right now that are sort of related to Get Ready With Me, but extreme glow-up transformation seems to be quite a big one. It's something that I think about a lot because it's not just media representations that we are used to in the form of like long-form storytelling. Mm-hmm. Even like She's All That, that movie from the 90s, like you have to sit through the entire movie and you have to learn a lot of character backstory, but with a glow-up transformation video, how much character backstory are we getting? And it's now just the everyday person that is participating in it and doing it. And they're probably doing it more than once. Because if a creator gets known for doing that kind of thing, they will often upload like one a year. So it's like the oppressive glow up extreme transformation video. Perhaps now that's been shortened into like a TikTok, which I have to admit, I'm not on TikTok, so this is my blind spot. I know they exist everywhere else. But yeah.
Um, I'm thinking, yeah, extreme transformation and extreme with an X.
Yeah.
And extreme transformation, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. You won't believe. And then obviously you have to click on it to see.
Mm-hmm.
And just a shock value, which we all really crave.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I have actually another reality TV that comes to mind. Biggest Loser.
Yes.
Which was literally about physical transformation and where we saw fat people losing weight and as a result succeeding in life. And ultimately, just those kinds of narratives uphold the dominant idea of like fat phobia and fatness equaling to something bad,
mm-hmm.
and undesirable and almost as a sin, if you think about it.
Yeah, it was pretty blatant. Like, we were inundated with this idea that it was virtuous to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
in a lot of these early, like, makeover stories and reality TV. It was so conflated that, you know, it was moral and good to lose weight and to become attractive in the public eye.
Mm-hmm. Another one that comes to mind, which was perhaps more insidious, America's Top Model.
Yep.
Right? And going back to Biggest Loser, I mean, I consumed a lot of that. And I remember just my sisters and I watching it and being like, oh my God, can you believe how much weight they've lost? And it was just packaged as something like wholesome and sweet and like their family's rooting for them and stuff. And obviously those things are nuanced. Like, you could be wanting to lose weight for a bunch of reasons, but ultimately it was just kind of this very like flat narrative.
Always.
Of like, oh, these fat people whose only problem in life was they were, like, too big or, like, way too much. And I'm also reminded of, like, the before and after photos,
mm-hmm.
which, I don't know, I somehow link to, like, early Facebook times. And then later, I mean, we see that now as well, of, like, makeover challenge or transformation challenge or something.
Yeah.
Definitely, glow up is very much rooted in before and after, because you can't really celebrate the here and now and after if there wasn't a before.
Right.
Actually, I found, if I may.
You may.
I found a glow up definition on Urban Dictionary. The People's Dictionary.
The amount of times that we get here, it's either Urban Dictionary or it's Know Your Meme. And it's like the core research model of this show.
Yeah.
Please tell me. I'd love to know.
So according to Urban Dictionary, one of the definitions for glow up is to go from the bottom to the top to the point of disbelief.
Started at the bottom. Now we're here.
Now we're here, Drake. an incredible... an incredible transformation. Person one says, wow, she really did glow up from ugly duckling to gorgeous swan. But
yeah,
there you go. Before and after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing is that we always have to assert that before was bad in mm-hmm. order to get to an after, which is, you know, your end goal, your like most virtuous mm-hmm. and morally complete stage.
Yeah. Yeah, and something else that I was very fascinated by and definitely went down, I was down several rabbit holes looking into the whole culture and subculture around revenge body, which actually I wasn't privy to, and that is embarrassing because I literally do the show and I should know everything
you
that's
have to
out
know
there.
All culture.
Yeah, for folks who don't know or didn't care like me before, revenge body is, so giving you a definition here, is when a person exercises and gets really fit as a result, often as a result of a breakup. And it comes from a person channeling their frustration over a breakup where they feel they were wronged. And it comes from a place of like being vengeful. And so hence called revenge body or revenge bod, and it's intended ultimately to make an ex jealous and regret their breakup. And it's commonly seen among celebrities. Again, there's like a glow up after breakup. And now that internet and just generally, I don't know, it's so, everything is so accessible to like just put your bodies and faces out there and go viral. A lot of, I guess, regular people have been adapting to this revenge body trend.
Yeah, I mean, I see it as a couple things. It's like a just glorifying one body type as usual. But B, it's also like trying to create a story out of legitimately nothing. You know, there's nothing there that's worthwhile celebrating beyond like you feeling better about yourself post something that is really bad that has happened to you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be about the body, but of course it always is. And when we're talking about transformations and makeovers, we're always talking about like quantifying being hot and what those conventions are. And I think that it's probably at its worst in the term revenge body.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just straight objectification and it's just like straight glorifying being thin.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. And just something that I thought I will pepper this conversation with is some stats. I was reading this article, which is really good. It's called How to Have a Realistic Conversation About Beauty with Your Kids. It's in The Atlantic, and it's written by a writer whose name is Elise Hu. She also wrote this book called Flawless, Lessons in Lux and the Culture from the K-Beauty Capital. And she uses this term, which really embodies what we're talking about today. And the term she uses is tyranny of vanity and the deep-rooted problem right there. And she mentioned some research, and I'll quote some research from her article, is how studies have found that attractive men, for example, make more money over the course of their career. Better-looking scholars are cited more in academic papers, and that's wild. It's just not something I thought about, but it's just not surprising if I really think about it. And just overall, good-looking people are perceived as healthier, smarter, and just more sociable, which there's a lot of research to back this data up. And then just also going into how physical beauty is linked to morality and goodwill. And I was also reading, there was a research done where participants were shown just arbitrarily shown photos of people, and most participants said that the quote-unquote good-looking folks were the ones that they thought were more trustworthy. And one more research just kind of hammering down the same point is there's also a lot of research that finds that physically attractive people consistently receive preferential treatment starting from preschool, which is wild. And also goes back to the article of this writer, Elise, trying to have a conversation about beauty with her three daughters who are all under 10. And these very damaging ideas are ingrained in us when we're as little as in school, preschool, to like in the job market, in academia, and everything. And then it's also referred to as like the beauty premium. But anyway, just thought I'll throw out some
pepper that in there.
Yes,
I think something else that's important to note is that when we talk about beauty or like pretty privilege, as it's sort of colloquially known. We're talking about something that's not concrete. Like, it almost always refers to a set of ideals at any given time. So it's never just one thing, although it disproportionately, hurts women. Because there are always more in that category than for men. But these are always just, like, ideas that change over time, that what we decide is beautiful at any given time is always shifting, and people are always trying to meet those standards. And some can accidentally fall into what is considered beauty at a certain time and fall out of it at a later time. And it's just like, yeah, I guess that's all to say that it's a construct. And it's hard to actually internalize that in your real life. Like, I can sit here and be like, beauty's a construct, whatever. But what was considered aspirational when I was like going through middle school is totally different than what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these infuriating body trends that like pass through different times that, you know, when I was much younger, it was media was just so forward about thinness, and now it is less so. But of course, there are always restrictions.
Yeah.
But it just constantly changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that it is so inconcrete can also be something that is like sort of horrific.
Yeah. But you know, I guess my pushback to that a little bit is that it is, I feel like it's a roundabout way to say the same thing. Like we have all these body trends of like, oh, thinness was in the 90s and now we celebrate all bodies, but it's like but then it's also very specific type of curvy bodies.
Yeah.
And ultimately what we're celebrating, the beauty ideals are very conservative and rigid, and it's like it's ultimately a thin, tall, beautiful white woman.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's always rooted in male desire.
Mm-hmm. And I think about just growing up when I didn't grow up in the West, and there's a lot of colorism that exists in South Asian communities and those Eurocentric beauty ideals, which is crazy because, like, hey, we're brown, what are you doing? And just like crazy stories you hear from folks where ultimately they're just trying to say, oh, yeah, she's beautiful because, like, she's light skinned or fair. And there's a lot of beauty corporations pushing out skin lightening creams and stuff, which a lot of research is now being done of how they're really harmful because they use bad chemicals that actually like destroy your skin.
Oh, it's so terrifying.
Yeah, there's actually a really notorious company which is big in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh called Fair and Lovely. And so even just, again, beauty is virtue, like fair is lovely.
Yeah, right? Literally in the title.
Yeah.
It's not even hiding it.
No.
Good God.
Yeah. And so again, it's really, as you said, objectification of the body, romanticizing a certain type of body,
mm-hmm.
and how no matter what our background is, no matter what our body type is, no matter what our mental status is, we should all be striving for that. And if you're not, we're lazy.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? And how it's just a choice. It's like, oh, you can all look like her.
Yeah, I
if
mean,
you
like,
try.
There's no real meritocracy here, you know?
No.
It's not like if you just try hard enough that you will be beautiful to the conventional standards of beauty.
Yeah.
It's almost always, unless you're extremely privileged, it's almost always going to be something that you will be working at forever or will always just be out of your grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, especially with the fact that our beauty standards are always changing, that means it's just perpetually out of reach for most people.
Yeah. It almost, I don't know, I feel like I can't help but draw parallels to like the flawed American dream of like, if you try hard enough.
Exactly. Like that doesn't exist. It
no.
just doesn't exist.
It is so, it's just unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
But we all tell ourselves lies that we all can look like the Kardashians, for example.
And all of our makeover / glow up content from the last like 20 years.
Everybody looks the same.
It relies on this idea of the meritocracy of putting in work of, you know, if you're not there, you just haven't tried. You
mm-hmm.
didn't know what a haircut was. Like, it's this idea that like each person just should be at least trying. And if you're not reaching it, then you haven't been.
Yeah.
And that's so pervasive. And it also causes a lot of shame. And I just don't think that people should ever feel shame for not being able to achieve these like shape-shifting ideals that have no real rules on like your morality, your person.
Yeah.
Like it's not, vanity isn't like a morality project.
No, not even close. And it's interesting now that perhaps I am questioning all this and I reject all this, but it's like, has someone ever asked themselves like, do I even want this?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to participate in society.
I say that to myself like every morning.
What if you just choose not to participate in society? Sorry, yeah. Too spicy, but not sorry.
Yeah, sometimes you're just like, damn it, I just want to be ugly. I don't care. I just want to be ugly.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I actually lost my train of thought, which is a great segue.
Yeah, let's play some music.
To play some music.
My friends, they all tell me I'm so very lucky, and I think they might be right. He's wickedly funny, cracks me up like nobody, and I'm so glad he's in my life. But when I glance away, but don't give enough praise, something rearranges, something in him changes. He loves me until he hates me. His love can turn on a dime. And he loves me until he hates me. I don't know what it will be this time. My friends find it cute that he completely worships me, but I just want an even love. What does he see in me? Love, a sister, enemy, all the above. And when we disagree, he'd rather I don't speak. I feel his resentment that he's still so dependent. He loves me until he hates me. His love can turn on a dime. And he loves me until he hates me. I don't know what it won't be this time. How much therapy do we need to break free of all the history? What was passed down? Does it make me naive that I wanna work it out? Cause I still believe, I still believe. He loves me until he hates me. His love can turn on
his
a dime.
Love can turn
and
on
he loves me until he hates me.
Until he
I don't
hates
know what
me.
It won't be this time.
I'm not afraid to die.
Get ready for a night of live music, electrifying performances, and pure indie vibes from all these amazing artists. Don't miss out. Get your tickets at admitone.com. Sprouts is a 100% volunteer and student-run organization at UBC. Through the many initiatives, Sprouts aims to make healthy, affordable, and sustainably produced food accessible to everyone on campus. Sprouts is based out of Sprouts Cafe in the basement of the Life Building. With rising food insecurity on campus, they've dedicated practices to making high-quality food and produce available to all through the cafe, community fridge, produce market, and free meal distribution. Learn more about these many initiatives and volunteer opportunities on Instagram at UBCSprouts.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who experience sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty, and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical, and campus-related advocacy, and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3130. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssasc.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
This is the boy, Jacuzzi LaFleur. You here with Crimes and Treasons Radio. Jazz Cartier, y'all know who it is. Golden Child, baby, let's get it.
What up? This is Michelle Garcelli. Right now, I am tuned in to Crimes and Treasons, goddammit.
Hey, yo, this is Isaiah Rashad.
Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy, Just Blaze.
Yo, 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 what's good? It's Bodega Bams, a.k.a. Poppy, a.k.a. Young Don Francisco.
Hey, yo, it's Baby No Money.
What's good, y'all? It's your boy, Terrell Safady.
Hey, what's up? It's Tion Kidd.
What up? This is Stango.
And this is your boy, Waldo.
And you're listening to Crimes and Treason Radio.
Yeah, bitch.
What's up? This is Peanut Butter Wolf. You're listening to Crimes and Treason Radio.
Hello, this is Blow Fly.
Hey, this is Halo.
Hey, what's up? It's St. John, and you're not listening to Crimes and Treason. It's lit.
Hey, I know who it is, man. It's your boy, Saha the Prince.
Yo, what up, though? This is Ill Tone from Blacktivity.
Yo, peace, family. It's your Shabwala Dizzy Rice.
Yo, this is Remy Wolf.
Hey!
Yo, what's poppin', man? It's I Am Super.
It's Jay Worthy, a.k.a. P Worthy.
Hey, yo, you already know what time it is. It's your boy, ASAP Yams, a.k.a. Yamborghini, a.k.a. Lil Newport, a.k.a. motherfucking... I got too many motherfucking aliases, but you already know what time it is. Crime and treason in this motherfucker. Shout out to these motherfuckers, they putting it down with that real trill shit.
Yo, it's Cam Blow Out.
Crimes and treasons, that's what we believe in while we blowing the treason.
Crooks out.
Tune in to Vancouver's rap radio show every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. You're listening to
We're Goblins. We're Goblins. That nasty little show where we dive into pop culture and the words that arise out of it.
That is correct. Yeah. So today we're talking about hashtag love, hashtag revenge body, hashtag transformation.
Hashtag the tyranny of vanity.
Yep, exactly. So where were we, Tasha?
Well, we spent some time, I think, doing an amazing job, if I do say so, of laying a bit of the groundwork. Mm-hmm. Whenever we start these conversations just between us, I notice that we get really excited about times in which we can see this like pop up in culture, mm-hmm. and where we remember it popping up and how it pops up now.
Yeah.
And so we got that all the way. We talked about the term revenge body. Mm-hmm. We talked about makeup, or not makeup, which is involved, but makeover movies from the early aughts, which then turned into a series of very unhealthy makeover reality TV shows. Yeah, I think we covered a little bit of the linear movement.
And then you talked about Get Ready With Me videos on YouTube.
And extreme glow-up transformation videos.
Also that, yeah. A lot of hashtag glow-up photos of before and after on Facebook and Instagram. Perhaps TikTok. I don't know. Tasha and I don't exist on TikTok.
And we don't exist. Dating us. The sentence ends there. We don't
actually. We do. We exist. No, debatable.
No. Yeah. I question it. I wake up in a cold sweat every day wondering.
Yeah. I feel like I appreciate that we. I mean, sometimes it's just easy to like. Obviously, I don't know. We're both haters, and we are fascinated with like culture critique and media critique and. It's a good focal point of like trying to understand things and dissect things because we're also cogs in the machine and we're not like we don't participate in this or like are not familiar with this kind of lingo. But I do appreciate that we take some time to like lay the groundwork, as you said, and talk about the history and like why things are the way they are and how it's not just something that's happening now or it's not just something that youths are doing. We did it. Our parents did it to some extent, right? And so just kind of like a bit of history and pop culture references and the specific cultural moments that are formed by language and our colloquial lexicon and all
that's
that.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The cultural moments that are formed by our language.
Yeah.
We also talked a bit about what it means to us. And I realized that, like, I never asked you a question that I was thinking about this entire time, which is, have you ever had a glow up? Has this happened to you? Did you do it to yourself? Did someone else do it for you? Do you know how you'd always have those friends that would be like, let me do your makeup or let me take you out shopping? The premise being like, we're going to transform you.
I get nervous.
Sentence ends there.
Yeah, I'm just someone who gets stressed when someone's taking my photo. Because I'm not going to pretend. I actually hope that it's going to be a darn good photo so I can use it for all professional and personal reasons. And then it usually never is. And then I get sad about it and mad about it. And so I just put a lot of thought. And I love how a lot of my friends are just very casual in their photos. And they're just so cool and candid photos. And I aspire for that. But it doesn't work out maybe because I think about it too much. I don't know if that has ever happened. Actually, I think one of my best friends from high school, who's a stylist now and just always had really good taste in fashion, would help me pick out pants because I just didn't know I am a small person.
Pants are the hardest article of clothing to buy. Everybody knows this.
Yeah. And she like was like, oh, like, why don't you pick this or this style? This is going to flatter you more. And I was like, wow, I had no idea. So perhaps subtly. Yeah.
Listen, I'm a person who like cries every time I get a haircut. And that's not a lie. So I'm very uncomfortable with change in that respect. But I also have very distinct memories of like going through like makeover transformations when I was really young. One in which, hilariously, what ensued was my friend's older sister literally told us how to walk down a high school hallway, giving us instructions on when and where to like flip our hair and like how to look at people when you're in high school. So like the makeover went deep.
Tasha's going to show me how to do that after the show.
I never forgot. But yeah, we are like part of the culture as it moves around us. And
oh, you know what? What that reminds me of your story with your friend's sister.
Walking through the hallways?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there is fully a lot of Instagram reels that I've seen of like how to pose. And it's like, oh, if you stand like this, you're like slouching. But if you stand like this, you're going to look like put together. And
oh my God, big wheel, keep on turning.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's so many videos like pose hacks or like quick, like digestible. Like, here you go. I've solved all your life's problems. But
yeah, useful reminder. We rarely solve our problems, you know?
No.
you learn to live with it.
Yeah, or just become numb.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time letting go of things in general, and so I'll circle back to Revenge
Do
Body.
It. Yeah.
I found out that there was a show in 2017 created by Khloe Kardashian called Revenge Body, and apparently she had a revenge body after her breakup with one of her exes, whose name I cannot remember, which she was praised for a lot, obviously. And then the show's description was very funny to me, and I want to read it aloud. It's all about showing the world, all those people who doubted you, who rejected you, what they are missing now. It's all about the revenge body. Okay, someone needs to hire me to be a voice actor.
Oh my God.
Because the best revenge is looking and feeling your best. That's it. And as you can imagine, it was a poor participants in the show who whatever trauma they had, and they're like, girl, you just gotta look hot and you'll be okay.
Yeah, the subtext being, have you tried trying?
I love that. And you know what's funny though, which was written way down in the show synopsis? The show has trainers and makeup artists and nutritionists. Like, I can't afford that. Like, what?
No, yeah. This is also the kind of work that not everybody is able to, like, afford.
Yeah.
It's inherently classist, and it's
totally
inherently fat phobic, and it's inherently all these stupid, like, I'm face palming the whole time. How can you not?
Yeah. Yeah. And Revenge Body is actually not a new phenomenon. It was apparently first being used by tabloid media, obviously, and then they really projected it on women celebrities, surprise, surprise. And for instance, the Katie Holmes, when her and Tom Cruise broke up in 2012, was dubbed Best Revenge Body of the Year, which I didn't know even was a thing. And then other celebrities come to mind as well. I mean, anytime a woman celebrity loses weight, everybody has opinions. It's often praise and admiration, and I'm thinking Adele was trending a lot during I think it was last year when her latest album came out, and she dubbed it as a divorce album, and it was a time around her split with her longtime partner, and also the time when she lost a ton of weight, and then she had a quote-unquote glow up. And what's very sinister about this glow up trend is that it is packaged as empowering and assertive.
Oh yeah.
And a form of self-care, but it's so not that. It obviously just reinforces the idea. And there is just one idea. It's a singular narrative that thinness is better, and you're only deemed being worthy of success, of desire, of respect, of love if you're thin. So thin is good. Period. I was like, question mark, because that's where my brain is, but period.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to segue into what we consider like the subtext part of this when we talk about what is beneath the words. And you're mm-hmm. right, like the like narrative of a glow up is that it's just a glorification of thinness and of certain beauty standards. And that's it. Like, that's it. And it's not actually empowering. It's very exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, something that I wrote down in my very initial, like, subtext notes was, like, to what end or for what purpose?
Yeah.
And
deep.
I know. This is the deep portion. So this is when I get to, like, just totally go off.
I love that. You and your element.
I'm in my element. And we could point to like examples of in culture this popping up a lot. And my brain always goes to like, okay, like where does this come from?
And yeah. Yeah, to what extent?
Yeah. And I mean, one is obviously like which we mentioned before, how inherent like beauty standards and glorifying thinness is in culture, and it just is like this brain worm that won't go away. But then I also think about how we're surrounded by technology that forces us perpetually out of ourselves and into the role of like documentarian. And the glow up narrative now is not something that we watch like a story of, but now it's following the footsteps of when we moved from, say, She's All That to The Biggest Loser, which is like just a self document of like how you've progressed over time. And like selfhood is petrol for social media. It's what like keeps it alive. And it keeps us in the state of documenting ourselves and documenting progress, in this case, progress towards beauty ideals. Mm-hmm. But it's just this like unending drive to document. And it's as if the last thing that you posted online is like no longer valid, and that always needs to be updated because you always need to be moving. And so I think that's a really perversive idea underneath the glow up mentality. is that it's the platform media sort of driven perspective that one has to constantly be evolving.
Very linear. You can be going backwards.
Yeah, of course.
I definitely, like the what you said about self-documentation as like a petrol for your branding, for your content. And also, we know, as we were talking about, pretty privilege being social currency, how you gain clout. And what's interesting to me is where these, perhaps it's a lot of same ideas and norms that we're trying to uphold, and there's a lot of fat shaming that still exists, but we just try to package it into like self-care and empowerment and taking whatever revenge body, like I don't know, like being the drivers of our own car or whatnot. But and in some ways we pretend we're pretending that, yeah, you're subverting the male gaze, but you can't subvert the male gaze by playing into it. That's just delusional.
Yeah.
And it's just, it can be so vile how much emphasis we continue to put on women and femme bodies. Like, who cares? Literally verbatim my notes. And are you doing well mentally? Like, nobody is going to think about that twice. Like, who cares if you're unwell mentally?
Yeah.
As long as you're you're fit femme.
Yeah, that means that you have succeeded, right?
Yeah.
It's like that's somehow the end goal, and it's certainly treated as the end goal in every single iteration of a glow-up transformation. Like, end goal, you succeeded.
Any piece of media, yeah. Yeah. And also, what's wild is that with, like, no matter how you package it, no matter how you weaponize your body, you're still centering male gaze and more broadly patriarchy in the way you're navigating life. And I don't know if we don't rethink otherwise, and are we just lying to ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is not so much like the fault of each individual person undergoing one of these, but I think profit-driven tech pushes us to these extents where we have to document ourselves through like digital artifice. And something I said to Hina earlier was that, like, we have to exist meaningfully online. We don't get to just exist. Mm-hmm. And maybe the promise of early social media was that, like, oh, you just use it. You just seamlessly plug in your information and it's you. But it has never been that. It has always been a decision you have to make every step in the way. And a lot of that decision is a photo. Mm-hmm. And photographs are currency, and maybe that's why we get stressed about photos, because it's like it's a cultural currency. You have to know how to take a good photo of yourself, and I can't. I just...
Picture speaks thousand words.
Yeah, I mean, you have to put a photo on your bloody resume.
Mm-hmm. LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's super oppressive, and I don't think that we had that standard before we were asked of this.
Yeah, you're so right. Photos as currency? I didn't think about that, but it's so real.
And what do you want from a photo of your face if not some form of idolized beauty, right? Like, what are you looking for? It's not, we're not using it as art. I wish we were. You can't submit some ephemeral photo of you, like, in black and white, and you can kind of barely see your features as, like, your LinkedIn profile. Like, it's not what they're asking for. They're asking for a specific, like, set of imagery for you to, like, slot yourself into. And that's currency, being able to do that.
Yeah.
Being able to look good doing that. So, of course, we're obsessed with glow-ups.
Mm-hmm.
That's my tangent.
Love it. We are ending, actually. It's 5 o'clock. Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when your brain hurts.
Any final thoughts by Tasha?
My final thought is that for this episode, I chose a song called Delete It by MS Paint, featuring Military Gun. And I thought it was quite relevant, because if you're thinking about a linear timeline of you showing progress, of getting more attractive over time, Delete It just felt like the best choice.
Yeah.
And also, it's a really good track.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my final words. Listen to MS Paint. They're a really cool band.
What a great band name.
I agree.
Yeah. Very meta. Delete It. Don't delete it.
Also, MS Paint was the greatest art studio of all time. I still use it.
I reckon. I chose He Loves Me Until He Hates Me, which is off of Vivek Shraya's latest album, Baby You're Projecting. And Vivek talks a lot about the unpredictability of masculinity in through her latest album. And she also, I don't know, it's just such a sweet and salty album, and it's just a treat. So I think everybody should go listen to it. And it's a very genre fluid, and just talking about pop culture references, there are a lot of throwback references and stuff. So with that, we are going to end our show, and catch you folks next time.
Later days.
Later.